Very elegant down the outside. It's True Self, Master of Wine at the 300 with The Chosen One. And here's Very Elegant and Anthony Van Dyke below the 200. The Chosen One grabbed by Very Elegant and Anthony Van Dyke. Very Elegant and Anthony Van Dyke. It's all class. Very Elegant and Nick in front. And the mare won it. Very Elegant beat Anthony Van Dyke, The Chosen One. Fourth Prince of Arran. Then came Finch and Avilius behind them.
What a win it was by Very Elegant, winning at the Caulfield Cup on Saturday. Great call from Matty Hill, and it was the cream, the class that rose to the top. The best stayer in Australia, Very Elegant, taking on the best rated international that has competed in a Caulfield Cup. And the man in the saddle was Mark Zara. Mark, congratulations. A huge day for you, not only winning the Caulfield Cup, but four winners on the day. Well done.
Cheers, Michael. Yeah, it was a fat day. One to remember for sure.
A fat day is a great way to describe it. You must have been pinching yourself how the day unfolded, although were you getting a little nervous in the build-up to the Caulfield Cup, thinking that everything's gone so well, something must be about to go wrong?
I was just trying not to think about it, but I was definitely thinking, geez, I haven't had a bit too much luck here, so... Hopefully, there's a little bit in the tank, but I was just trying to put it out of my mind because the whole day I was really just trying to focus on the Caulfield Cup. So, in most days you'd probably be up and about after riding three winners. I was sort of just putting it to the side. All I could think about was one thing, to be honest.
We got a great insight with you last week when James Weeks was having a chat to you about how you're going to try and ride Very Elegant. And you said that first 300 metres to the turn is going to be absolutely critical. And that's exactly how the race played out. Take us through what was going through your mind on Very Elegant when she had that awkward head carriage, you had the beast Finch on your outside trying to push you back to the rail, and you were trying to keep her one off.
Yeah, that's right. Just looking at the race, sort of doing the form, it looked as though that was always going to be the case, that there might be there's a strong possibility that there was going to be no horses inside me, and it was just going to be one thing I had to, I was going to have to fight to do is to stay one off the fence, and it turned out exactly that as we sort of got her away pretty clean. But as we'd gone sort of a furlong, I was in the right spot, but I had no one inside me to keep me off the fence, and that was just my only worry. So you could see as we're coming out of the bend there the first time, she was wanting to get away from Finch and get down to the rail. I was just praying that, I think it was Daniel Moore inside me, saying, just please hurry up and get up inside me so I've got a horse to stay off the fence. And thankfully, he did kick up there. And I think it was early, probably around the bend the first time I had to stay off. And then later on when sort of Finch was following Toffee Tongue, and Toffee Tongue got in front of me because, obviously, I didn't want to sort of push her or do anything, just wanted to sit on her and keep her calm. And when he got in, then obviously Damien Lane had no cover, so he wanted to get him one off as well, and I think and then the horse inside me sort of just dropped back a bit, so there was a spot, for Finch to try and again push me down. And thankfully for my mare, although she wasn't too keen on it, but I just had to have a bit of a tussle with Finch just to stay one off, and luckily it sort of worked out in the end.
Well, the overhead tracking shot was fascinating because she actually did get down to the rail for a moment there when there was no one on your inside, but you managed to keep her back out. Are you having a conversation, a yelling match with Damien Lane on your outside and Finch when all this is happening?
Not really. I felt like saying, come on, mate, it's your stable mate here. fair go, but in a big race is that like that, not much is said. I could see what he was wanting to do, and he obviously knew what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to let him do what he wanted to do, and he didn't want to let me do what I wanted to do. So it was just a bit of a tussle, but no words were said. But thankfully for me, I was able to stay one off.
She looks an awkward horse to ride with that head carriage, and she was throwing it around, and you seem to have clicked with her really well. Two rides for two group ones. Does she feel awkward when you're riding her, or is it more it looks worse visually than it actually is?
Definitely looks worse than what it is. She's a bit awkward the way she holds it. She would have been actually, I think, fine on Saturday. The only point where she got awkward was when Finch was trying to get me to the fence. And most horses, wouldn't appreciate that, but it's just the way she carries her head. It just looks, a lot worse than you'd see on other horses. So I would say that, other horses, it's probably, you think like they're using up a lot of energy when they would throw their head around like that, but with her, it's out there, it just doesn't feel like it's being detrimental to her chances. So, yeah, so definitely not as bad as how it probably comes across on TV.
It wasn't a fast-run Caulfield Cup. What were you thinking when you got her out at about the 600 and you were making that run? Were you confident?
I was. My main plan was just to be, when we came down the side there, my main plan was just to be, you know, not the widest, but just be in a spot where I can go and not have horses dictating on my outside. So once I got there, I think I had to let first Finch go, then Chapada go, and then I was able to sort of get on Chapada's back. And once I was there, I was very confident. She's quicking up really good down the side. And as we're coming into the band, I thought, geez, I've got most of these covered in front of me. It was just what was on my back. And, you know, lucky she was so tough because I had one of the world's best days chasing me down. But, yeah, she was too good.
Well, he ran to you at the 200 and I think she was probably going away again on the line. Did she give you that feeling that she was just as strong, if not strongest, on the line?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually very surprised that something came with me. Because when I quickened around the bend, she quickened good, but then when I put one around her tail, she really quickened up, and I thought, it's over here, I've won this. And then to see Anthony Van Dyke's head sort of in my peripheral vision, I was very surprised that he came with me. And but like you say, I was there to be beat at 100, but through the line and even after it, I was off and gone. Like, no horse even put up near me. She was so strong.
She carried 55 kilos, and as I said at the start, no horse has carried a weight like that since Tranquil Star way back in the 40s. There's only two horses that have carried a weight similar in a Melbourne Cup, and they're, well, it's the same horse, Mackay B. Deaver, 55.5 in 2004 and 58 in 2005. Greg Carpenter's got a decision to make today on a possible penalty. Do you think she can win a Melbourne Cup if she gets a kilo, if she gets a weight like that, 56 kilos in a Melbourne Cup?
I'm not sure, but I think she can. I think she's good enough, and being a heavyweight rider, I'm never worried about getting too much of a penalty. It doesn't bother me much at all, but I think she's good enough for sure. Like, you know, hopefully she only gets half a kilo. That'd be ideal, but if she gets a kilo, yeah, like I said, she was strong through the line. I dare say that a kilo wouldn't hold her back too much. You know, it's obviously going to make it a bit tougher, but I think she's got a great up in a Melbourne Cup, even if she does get a penalty.
We'll have a chat to the connections after 9 o'clock because I've got a big decision to make if she does get that penalty, if they do chase down a Melbourne Cup. And then the other big decision is who rides her in a Melbourne Cup. You've had two sits for two Group 1s, but she's been J-Max girl up in Sydney. Have you had a conversation with James McDonald since the win on Saturday?
I rang him first when I rode it just to get a bit of an inside to her, and he's probably kicking himself if he told me anything about it. he's congratulated me after Saturday, but that's about it. That's a decision for the connections to make, and you know, both have got good cases to be riding her, but it's out of her hands.
What's the jockey code normally in that situation? Is it, you know, last man on? You can't take a winning man off.
The jockey code goes in favour of whoever's making the case. Whichever jockey's making the case. He's probably saying he rode it all the early doors and deserves it, and I'm saying, well, I won the last two Group Ones, and you can't take me off now, surely. But like I say, not up to any of us. So hopefully, it goes in my decision. But you know, we don't even know if she's going to run there yet.
Yeah, is she the best day you've sat on?
Yeah, I'd say so for sure. Yep, I've been a couple of handy ones, but yeah, no. I mean, look, we went a Caulfield Cup on a horse, she's got a special place for me, so yeah, she's by far the best though.
And what does that mean to you, like winning a major, one of the most revered races in Australian racing?
Look, it hasn't really sank in yet. Like, I haven't thought about it that much, but I think as time goes past, it'll probably start to sink in. And you know, just like you say, it's a race so hard to win, and one of the big races that goes down in history, and you know, they always talked about in years to come. So I'm sure it's, yeah, means a lot, but it's probably mean more to me further down the track, I ought to say.
And gee, it was a day to remember as well. Have you got a Derby winner with Alberato? Gee, it was tough.
Yeah, it was a great win. So you know, that's a good lead-up race going to the Derby. They usually perform well if they can perform well in that race. So fingers crossed he comes to that run all good, and yeah, he's got a great hope in the Derby for sure.
And just a word on the track, Jason Kerr and his team out there, we know they had a fair bit of rain building up to it, but it seemed to race really well over the 3 days of the Caulfield Carnival.
Yeah, for sure. No complaints at all. I think it raced pretty fair on the first day. It was good on Wednesday, and then on Saturday, I think two of my winners came from up on the speed, and the other two come from back and wide. So that's all you can ask for is, every horse get their chance no matter where they are on the run. So he did a great job, Jason.
And you look forward now to the Cox Plate on Saturday, and you've got a nice ride there as well.
Yeah, got one of Aidan O'Brien's there in Magic Wand, so he usually doesn't bring him out unless they've got a great hope and perform on the race last year. So, fingers crossed he's ready to go this year.
Have you sat on her, or will she go out there tomorrow and do any work?
I haven't sat on it, and I'm not sure if she's going to Moonee Valley. I'll probably discuss that today and work out whether I can sit on her before Saturday.
Mark, congratulations, not just to Caulfield Cup, but four winners on one of the major days of racing is a day to remember for sure. Congratulations.
Cheers, Michael. Thanks very much.
Mark Zara joining us there.